Welcome back. I'm Ian Masters, and this is Background Briefing. And joining us now is Adolfo Flores, who is an Orange County reporter for the Los Angeles Times, who has been covering the trial against the Fullerton police officers accused of killing Kelly Thomas. Welcome to Background Briefing, Adolfo Flores.
Hi, thank you. Thanks for having me.
And since we have a national audience, let's sort of begin with the basics, Adolfo. 2.5 years ago, at the train station in Fullerton, Orange County, the more conservative part of Los Angeles, if you will, or the Southern California, was beaten to death by police officers, and it was captured on a surveillance camera. Those are the broad strokes.
Yes.
So tell me then, how did we get to this point today, in the sense that 2.5 years later, we have a verdict that many feel is somewhat reminiscent of the Rodney King verdict, but apparently, as of now, we don't have the same outrage, which, of course, resulted in a big chunk of Los Angeles being set on fire and looting and mayhem, et cetera. So what's your sense then of the relative calm?
To be honest, I don't know why it is that it didn't elicit that type of response. Because, there have been protests in Fullerton. There were some last night and this morning. But they were pretty pretty calm for the most part. And, to be honest, I don't know what they're thinking. I think right now a lot of people that are upset are hoping that the FBI will look into it and file charges. But we have no sense for when that might be.
So tell me what it was like in the courthouse when the verdict was read.
It was really emotional. I mean, people tried to at least contain their emotions while they were in the courthouse. But it was hard for them, especially for Ron Thomas. And, he put his head against the back of the seat. And, it looks like he was crying. And so was Kathy Thomas, Kelly's mom. She definitely was crying, and they're very upset. And people there the courtroom was packed with supporters. So, yeah, it was pretty evident by what they said and the way they acted that they didn't like the verdict.
And Ron Thomas is Kelly Thomas's father, right?
Oh, yes. Ron Thomas is Kelly Thomas's father. He's been the one pushing for the charges and, leading the charge.
But my understanding is that Ron Thomas is himself a former Fullerton police officer.
Not Fullerton. He was a deputy with the sheriff's department. He worked in the jails briefly. I don't know for how long, but he was a former deputy.
So he's a former law enforcement officer then?
Yes.
And apparently he burst into tears and kicked and stomped his foot and said, "Where do we really find justice anymore in our justice system? It has been proven right here today that they will get away with it. They will get away with it." Obviously, a deeply bitter experience for the father of this unfortunate, homeless, schizophrenic, unarmed young man. So what kind of a picture of the victim was portrayed in this? Because I imagine the main defense, of course, was of the police officers themselves. But who made a case for the victim?
Rakakis, the district attorney, he depicted Thomas as a he admitted that he had mental issues, but that he was an aggressor that night. He was just trying to go about his day. The defense, on the other hand, they had previous police encounters with Thomas or an incident at his home. At one point, he hit his grandfather with a fireplace poker. He choked his mom, and, just in the streets, he had a couple of run-ins. He punched someone in the face. So they were very polar, very different views of Thomas presented to the jurors.
So this was in the category of blame the victim, but they were trying to portray him as a violent person because there's no evidence of any violence from him, is there, Kelly Thomas, on the surveillance tape?
No, I mean, it's depending on who you ask. The defense said that, he was fighting back and he was violent. And they described the fight with cops as, the fight of their lives. But the prosecutor said that wasn't the case. He was not the aggressor. And that he only fought back because, you know, he thought his life was in danger and he had the, you know, he had the right to defend himself, the right to self-defense. So that was the issue with the video, is that everyone had their own views on it. And we don't know what the jury thought of it. I mean, I wasn't able to grab any of the jurors and I haven't seen any other reports, so I don't know how they took it. But each side was really, really good about getting their point across.
But doesn't the video show at one point, or perhaps even at several points, at least one of the police officers who was put on trial for the beating death of Kelly Thomas turning his back on him at one point? I mean, it seemed, from my viewing of the tape, it seems the police were quite casual. They were taking their time about beating this guy to death.
In the beginning, the encounter between former Officer Manuel Ramos and Kelly Thomas wasn't really, I mean, you wouldn't think that it would get to the point that it did. You know, he did turn his back and he walked away, came back. I think what was the turning point, and that the prosecution argued was the turning point, was when he told Thomas, when he put on the gloves and he said he was going to punch him. And a few seconds later, Thomas is on the ground, you know, fighting with the two cops.
Well, my understanding that what Officer Ramos said to Thomas when he put the gloves on, the surgical gloves, "Now, see my fists, they are getting ready to F you up."
Yes, yeah, that's exactly what he said.
And that did not, this, as far as the jurors concerned, that wasn't intent, that wasn't premeditation?
I don't know. Like I said, prosecution said that Ramos crossed the line by saying that he shouldn't have said that. I can't speak to what the jurors, how they took it, but yeah, everyone really focused in on that point.
Well, of course, the victim here is a homeless guy living on the streets, and he is obviously mentally ill. He's been diagnosed with schizophrenia. So, you know, it seemed like he was confused, which is not surprising, right? I mean, he was saying things like when they were barking at him, the police, he said, "I'm trying, I'm sorry." Isn't that pretty clear on the tape?
Yeah, and he was from the beginning, even before the incident turned violent, he had a hard time when the officer told him to put his hands on his knees and stick his feet out. You know, you could definitely tell he had a hard time understanding. And then once he was on the ground, from the officers, he kept saying, "I can't breathe, help me, I'm sorry." You know, so yeah, those are things that he said.
Well, he also cried out to his father, did he not? Cried out at least, apparently, 30 times, crying out.
Oh, yeah. He did. He cried out for his father to help him. And he also, at some point, he called out for God to help him.
And I guess in this case, God forsake him, you know. So, again, I'm speaking with Adolfo Flores, an Orange County reporter for the Los Angeles Times, who's been covering the trial against the Fullerton police officers accused of killing Kelly Thomas. Were there any, in terms of the prosecution in this case, those that are trying to bring justice for Kelly Thomas and his parents, was the issue of mental health and the fact that we have so many homeless and mentally ill people on the streets, and many people attribute that to the decision made many years ago by then Governor Ronald Reagan to change the rules about commitment of mentally ill people and essentially empty the mental hospitals. Was there any sort of discussion of how we deal with mentally ill people and why so many of them end up homeless?
That was not a point that came up in the trial, but I think, as we all know, the case itself did raise a lot of issues about mental health care in California. And the family has spoken about how hard it was to get him help. And so, yeah, it was not a major point in the trial, but it was outside of the courtroom.
And I take it outside of the courtroom, after the verdict was read, people sort of started to gather at this sort of makeshift shrine at the spot where he was beaten to death, right next to, I believe, the Fullerton railway station, right?
Yeah. They met at the Fullerton bus depot, and there was a shrine there. They had a guest book for people to sign to give to Thomas's family. And then later on in the night, they walked the streets of downtown Fullerton and made their way to the police station, where they were out there for about, outside the police station, I'd say 20, 30 minutes before they went back to the bus depot and continued to protest the verdict.
And what were some of the signs and the manifestations of these protests, particularly the ones in front of the police station, which I believe was closed at the time?
Yeah, it was closed. So nobody came out. There wasn't police presence really either at the protest. A police cruiser drove by at some point. But some of the signs, you know, they said stuff, you know, honk for justice, Nat Kelly Thomas's name on them. The other, you know, our children shouldn't have to fear cops, and, you know, we're not against police, we're against police brutality. Those are just some of the signs people were holding up.
So, Adolfo, did you get any feedback from any of the police that were driving by, that were, you know, being exposed to this, the demonstrations and the signs that you just described?
The cops didn't say anything. They were at a red light. They just looked out and then they kept driving. So they didn't respond. But the protesters were definitely upset, you know, at them. And, you know, they kind of threatened them. They said, you know, we're coming for you and now you need to be afraid of us. So that was a little bit tense, but it was very, very short.
Well, my understanding is that this has led the police to put these two defendants who were just acquitted, the two police officers, a third one, the charges were dropped against him, put them into some kind of protective custody. Is that your understanding?
So my understanding from the Fulton Police Department was that they wouldn't really go into what they're doing, but they said that they were monitoring social media messages and, you know, everything outside, and they had taken appropriate measures. But again, they wouldn't elaborate on what they were.
So did the DA ever bring up the context of the thin blue line, the notion that the police close ranks, they tend to, whenever a fellow officer is on trial? I mean, did any, for example, any of his fellow police officers ever testify against him?
No, none of them did. They had a couple of them who testified on their behalf, you know, that them in regards to the training they received and the policy and what they said that night. But yeah, none of them testified against them.
So then what's your guess, Adolfo Flores, about why it is that this jury found them not guilty, acquitted them, and then obviously creating this kind of outrage, which I think is fairly widely felt? It hasn't manifested itself in the way that the outrage of the Rodney King verdict did, of course, but, you know, time will tell, I suppose. But in trying to understand, for those people in our audience who don't understand how an unarmed, mentally ill homeless man could be beaten to death in such a savage way that was captured on video, and yet those who perpetrated it are able to walk free. Where do you think the prosecution dropped the ball?
Well, I mean, I don't know where they dropped the ball, but I mean, I think the jurors give police a lot of leeway because of the job that they have. It's, you know, it's a dangerous job, and if the prosecutors weren't able to prove, I think it was difficult for the prosecutors to prove that the officers were used more force than necessary because the jurors tend to give officers a lot more leeway in terms of force.
Well, did they make the case that? But did they make the case that these officers were acting within the rules? In other words, they were following the rules.
Well, the defense lawyers said that they, you know, that they did, and they brought in their use of force trainer, who said that they acted within the training. He also said that they acted within policy. However, the prosecution, they got the personnel records of the two officers, and then they weren't introduced into evidence, but the jurors were told to ignore the testimony from the trainer, who said that the two officers acted within policy. However, the defense continued to say that despite that, the two officers relied on their training correctly.
Well, apparently, though, Thomas was not unknown to the police, right? I mean, he was a sort of fixture, a homeless guy that was around all the time.
In fact, Ramos had a number of previous encounters with him, and he knew him.
So why did anybody ask Ramos, or I guess he didn't necessarily testify, but did anybody ask why this time? You know, if you know this guy, you know he's a harmless, homeless guy who's a schizophrenic. Why this time? Why was he suddenly a threat?
They didn't ask Ramos that. But it was the prosecutors that bring up that point, is that he knew who he was, he knew he had mental issues. And, yeah, but in terms of what Ramos was thinking, why that time was different, I don't know. It wasn't something that came up.
So just in closing then, Adolfo Flores, is there any indication, you know, that we've mentioned the Rodney King situation a number of times? It's obviously, you know, an easy kind of mental association to make, but I don't know, you know, whether there's a constituency for, you know, homeless, schizophrenic young white man out there that's willing to take to the streets.
They have a couple of protests planned for this weekend. I think later today in Los Angeles, but I'm not getting a sense that it'll be of the magnitude of the Rodney King riots. But they are organizing, but I don't know what they're going to look like. So far, they haven't been that large.
Well, Adolfo Flores, I thank you so much for joining us.
No, thank you.
Again, I've been speaking with Adolfo Flores, who's an Orange County reporter for the Los Angeles Times, who has been covering the trial against the Fullerton police officers accused of killing Kelly Thomas. This has been Background Briefing. I'm Ian Masters. I'd like to thank producer Graham Fitzgibbon. This program's available for podcasting at ianmasters.com. You can also contact me, and I'll be back again tomorrow with another Background Briefing. Bye for now. Time.